This is Down to Brass Tacks.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm fine as well. Over the last year, so I see some business in Barbados publish their financial reports or statements or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, some large companies.
Yes, and it's showing some really big, huge profits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I would like to see the companies in Barbados, right, step up the game and show some gratitude regarding the massive corporate tax relief that they received, right?
But when would you see that being reflected? Don't forget, this is now 2019.
This is now 2020. Right.
So you still got to give them time.
Yeah,
to show
they had it over a year now.
Yeah, but when are they going to file their taxes?
Yeah, what I'm saying.
You could only know after you filed.
Yes. This is what I would like to see, I said.
Okay.
I said I would like to see them show some gratitude.
At that point, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for the big major tax reduction that they received. Because mm-hmm. the Prime Minister also made a comment when she gave her financial ministerial statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she would like to see with that big thing,
mm-hmm.
yes, she would like to see Barbie. She would like to see Barbie better perform it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
And she identified a couple of areas like more enfranchisement of employees. Better pay, and also and greater investment. What I like to see personally as well, to also employ some people as well.
Yeah,
you know, that I would like to see the companies in Barbados going forward doing these things. Because you had a massive reduction from corporate tax from 30%
mm-hmm.
down to about between 1 and 5.5%. So we would like to see that in this coming year from the good people in the big companies in Barbados and all the other media ones that I can't afford as well, because they're too benefited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to know, I heard you said a little earlier that, and I heard some people saying it about Mr. Ennis, that amount was a small amount, that dollars that he takes. But the people must understand that he's dealing with the money that he laundered through the USA system. They were dealing with that. And the prosecutor also said actually it was 5% to the penny that the money that OTBL would gain on the from the new contract. So that's significant. So that don't mean that's, you know, people are saying, man, just a little small amount, and you know, but it was just dealing with what he think through the British, through the American system, what he learned.
So what do you think about ICBL and all of this?
What do you think about ICBL?
Yeah.
When you say what you think about,
repercussions, if any, do you think?
Because I don't think they're going to get any repercussions, because as far as I could understand, I think early in the piece, their CEO would have brought that up to the officials in the States, because that you're well aware that financial companies, banks, insurance companies, etc., if they are found money laundering, they have a high cost, or particularly even get the license taken away. So I think that I remember saying that the CEO, he reached out to the American companies, that's why. So he basically, he basically informed that that's happening in his company. They had to pay a small amount. So I don't think they will get any more follow-up from that.
Okay.
But it's the individuals, as we've seen here, the individuals. It's very interesting to see what the Barbados authorities would do with some of the other players, seeing that this act was done in Barbados. Mr. Ennis, and in Mr. Ennis's case, the Americans dealt with his money laundering. He touched their system. But this was
done
directly in Barbados.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
That seems to be the only reason why.
Yes.
There was a case.
That seems to be the only reason why you think, because they dealt with that. So I'm saying, if and when Mr. Ellis returns to Barbados, we shall watch and see what the local, people will do with that. You know, that would be very, very interesting to watch and see. So basically, that's it, though, because. You know, people will keep saying this, but man, it's a lot. We just only could only deal with what went through their system at that point in time. And it's also very interesting again to see that a law firm is down here in Barbados doing some investigations. So I think some people in Barbados might be trembling at this time. A lot of people in Barbados might be trembling for what transpired in Barbados over the recent past. You know, that's also a good thing to see. Because country cannot really go forward like this. Country cannot go forward like this. Corruption in any society is a drain on the economy. That's why they said America is so adamant about corruption. Because they say that when you do the corruption, obviously, like, the social, the infrastructure will be impacted. Then the economy itself, you will not really see a true picture of the economy because a lot of money are going in places where it should not be going. You know? So that's very, very interesting going forward. But I would like when the same British people come down to Barbados. Well, apparently they were here already. I would also like to look at every individual or company institution change here. Foreign providers. I think that's a matter for them, because that's not a big thing. But why would a government, the last administration, change from flow to digital? That is a tremendous undertaking.
I didn't hear that one.
Flow. The government, because flow was here, well, different names, Bartel, telephone company, etc. And Barbados long. So the government of Barbados would have had those the phones hooked up with them, right? With Flo, the last name.
Yeah.
But you know that recent times, when the last administration office, they changed from Flo to digital?
I know of a number of government agencies that their telephone numbers changed. Yeah. And there was also a public announcement, where there was, you know, people can change service providers. But what were you suggesting, that they shouldn't?
No. I'm saying, what's the reason?
If they're offering a better package.
Oh, come on, man. If you're a big player in the company, you got me the biggest player in the company. You could get any, basically.
But if Flo had it before, what was it? You didn't see a big deal with that, too?
No, but Flo was the company of Barbados originally.
Right, but if you had
you
a service.
But you also got to realize.
66,000 people. Or let's say
285. Right, the
closer to 300,000. Barbados is small. You have people who but I see where you're making your connections. But
so there's a very interesting one there to note. But I'm glad Friday is going to be about 20 months or so that the administration was in office, and everything is looking up. Well, the majority of things are looking up. So let's thank the Lord for that. And let us go forward from here, guys.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have to ask Sandy to call back and share her number, because we have a WhatsApper that has sent a note requesting and sharing their number. So if Sandy Hellman is listening, please call back and give the producer your number. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, morning. Could you turn your radio down so that we don't hear that 7-second delay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Something I want to say here on behalf of one Sunday, I was heading down to the Spice Town on a minibus. And then this bus was heading down the St. James course. And one guy pushed out his hand to stop this bus, but he was not in the proper place to be picked up. So the minibus man says that he's not allowed, don't open the door, let him in, because he's not allowed to get on board at that point. You should be at a bus stop or something like it. Mm. Up come a motorbike policeman trying to stop this guy from getting on board the van. But the guy went over to the policeman, give him a little buzz on his shoulder and whisper in his ears. And then 10 minutes, the policeman shake his head and tell him, go on, get on board. Now, I want to know what example that is set in the law. If the minibus man is not the law and he's setting the law, mm-hmm. and the law, the man who's supposed to be dealing with the law, breaking the law, I want to ask what example they're setting in this country. That's why a lot of these things are happening in Barbados, that you can do them, and because you know this body or this body, you know the next body, you can get away with them. No principles and respect are set in the country.
Quick question for you. Suppose the gentleman told the police, I'm not recovering from XYZ, and I don't want to walk so far. Would you allow me to get onto this minibus?
Mistress, look, that's why a lot of things are happening in this country, because there's a lot of advice to everything, if this and if that. Let's deal with the facts of the law.
You have the same facts that I have. Neither of you or myself heard the conversation. I'm just asking, suppose that took place.
No, it was just means that he was just trying to tell the policeman that give him a break or whatever. And
but you didn't hear, you were in the van.
Okay, mistress, keep it up, and that's how the law will go. But anyway, that's all right.
I was just sharing that as a potential, a possible.
Mistress, listen, a lot of alibis are being made on things like that. That's what all things people can get away with and things like that. Okay. Now, if I was a cop, I'm doing my duty. Brother, sister, mother, or dads, and you're not supposed to get on there, I'm setting examples. You're not getting on. Go to the bus stop where you're supposed to get on and get your bus. And he didn't do that. And as I said, a little whisper or whatever. Oh, yeah. All right. Good. Yeah. This frenzy type of behavior thing. That is not the law. Mm-hmm. You see? So that's all I can say.
Okay. It is important for our law, for our legal, not even the lawmakers, but it is important for our constabulary members of the force to uphold and to maintain the law. And I think that's what the caller is insisting. What I do, though, like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and there are some scenarios where leniency is allowed. Not that they're allowed to break the law, but you're allowed to, a blay is given on some instances. And in that case, I know of scenarios where persons are driving fast, and when the police stops the vehicle to report the passengers, sometimes they see a pregnant woman and they know, okay, yeah, got to get her to the hospital. I'm sure that doesn't happen too often, but in certain scenarios, sometimes if we are not aware of the conversation, we can't be as convinced as people who are equally not aware of the conversation. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. It's now 10 minutes after 11. This is Dr. Bastax. Good morning. I can hear you. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Can you tell me if the BWA is on a campaign to obliterate the sandpipes from the landscape of Barbados?
I haven't heard that policy directive shared. But you mean to remove all of the standpipes?
All of the standpipes.
I haven't heard that, no.
But I know that last year, mm-hmm. there was a standpipe down by Eagle Hall School. Mm-hmm. I saw a padlock was placed on it. Mm-hmm. And when I took back my son to school this term, I see that the cork has been removed.
Removed, okay.
And the plug now is plugged. Mm-hmm. And there was also a standpipe out here in Paterkin. And I saw a guy this morning with two buckets of water in a trolley. And he told me that the cork has been removed and the pipe plugged.
Could be because the misuse, abuse of the same standpipe. It could be a number of things. I have not heard that policy. It hasn't been articulated publicly, that is, that I know of. I know of a few standpipes that still exist.
A number of persons squatting in Waterford.
Right, and there's a standpipe in Waterford.
You don't have access to water. Mm-hmm. There's also a standpipe in Station Hill.
Yes.
That all of these people go and get their water from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the cork is removed from that, what are these people supposed to do?
To use another standpipe or to get water
put in? But there are no other standpipes in that area?
Or to stop squatting? Or to... I mean, there are myriad of options they have.
But it's not easy to get water from the water authority, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to carry a land tax bill.
Yeah, only if you
in order to get water.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are renting, the owners of the house usually
are the ones who take
bill the... comes in their name. And I don't know if there's some arrangement between them and the occupants of the house to pay the water bill, sir. To pay the water bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I don't know of the policy to remove standpipes. I still see a few of them. Actually, there's one right there in St. George, just right by the turnpike.
You would probably have to check and see if it's still there.
No, it's still there. I've seen someone use it recently. There's no cork. I don't see anything there.
But as I told you, the one down by Eagle Heart Primary School,
cork.
It was in use.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the end of last year, and only when I took back my son to school, my grandson to school, this month, I noticed that some person have removed the cork and put a plug in it.
Well, slightly, that's the Barbados Water Authority that has.
Well, they would have done
police,
that.
Yes.
If they intend to remove all the standpipes from the Barbados, well, they should make some statement.
Yeah. Well, let's see if someone from the BWA decides to share. We do have a WhatsApper here who's mentioning that most of the standpipes are left running and it's wasting water day and night. So I think maybe it could be a way of them reducing that scarce commodity that we have. And you can't fault them for that, I must say. You can't fault them for that if that's what they have sought to do.
All right. Okay, then.
Thank you so much. Someone says standpipes are part of our heritage and there should be something that is made beautiful. Clean them up. That's a good point. I don't believe that we should get rid of them because there's the odd occasion when you're driving by and, I mean, not to be fatalistic, but you could be choking and you need water and somebody decides to grab some whatever is happening. and it's a very serious matter. Or the pipes could be off, water authority truck didn't come out in time, and you should have access to the closest sets of standpipes around. And you're also making a point here where there are persons who are squatting, who that's their only source of water, and they themselves would want to have access. So that is an interesting thought. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a number of callers. You're on the air.
Morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm well. I'm a first-time caller.
Okay.
I was listening to the gentleman who was speaking about the standpipe,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke about the one that's close to Eagle Hall Primary School.
Mm-hmm.
But traveling along that area, I know there are three standpipes in Bridge Gap,
mm-hmm.
and then there is one across Warsland area.
Okay.
So I would understand why they would remove some of these standpipes, because basically they're not far apart from each other.
Okay. And in some instances, you can only find one in a mile's distance.
Right.
Point taken.
But these ones are literally, if you're walking from Starcom, you're going to find one by the church or by the credit union. And then if you go further down the street, there's one like by the NES building.
Okay.
And then when you go to the back of the NES building, there's another one.
Okay.
So I want to understand why they're removing so many, because sometimes you pass and they're running water. No one is actually by the pipe,
yes.
So it's a waste of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just wanted to call in to give that information. And then there are several around that particular area in these private avenues that are standpipes, and people don't turn them off, or they're not maintaining them.
Mm-hmm.
My only issue with these standpipes are when they're dirty and they're not maintained, or there's bush growing around the area.
Yeah.
That's my only issue with these standpipes and the pipes, they might be missing a washer, and I think that if the water authority is going to maintain them, they should check to see where the water waste is coming from.
Of course. I fully agree with you. We do have a number of WhatsAppers who've weighed in on this wasting water scenario, and also the beautification of these said these said standpipes. So I see that you have some persons in your corner. So yeah. Thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We do have a number of WhatsAppers here who mentioned the whole point of car washing and water running indiscriminately at some of these standpipes and the need to maintain them. So we have a general consensus from the slew of WhatsApps that came in just now about the need for the maintenance and maintenance not of the standpipe itself, but maintaining the standpipes in Barbados and then the maintenance of them, making sure that there's no grass growing around them and that they're, you know, welcoming to persons who want to come and put their bottles on them so they can get some clean water for home in case there's a water outage or persons who use them for everyday use. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. It is now 11:22. We have a number of callers. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning, you're on the air. Okay, well, I will continue with this caller. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Glad to hear that. Now, tell me something. I don't know if you would know. With this 2020 gathering, do you know if it's a budget? If this was budgeted for, or this is on where the money is coming from, you do have any idea?
There are some, I don't have a full detail. So in other words, I can't tell you that it was 7 million, 6 million, or 5 million. But I know of some ministries and some entities that have been asked in their estimates for this year, and they were given notice from before, to please budget something for 2020. And that is not the specific events like the one that was held on Arabara Day. I think the secretariat would have their budget and they would specifically have an allotted sum for those major national events. But for like schools and other entities, they've put in a little something in their coffers, in their estimates for 2020 regathering.
No. You know there are going to be estimates and then there's going to be a budget.
Yes.
No, that was saying that we would be looking to pay more on our taxes and whatnot, or you don't have any idea?
I'm not of the privy few. I don't get the opportunity to sit in cabinet.
I know, but
I'm not aware of those things.
Okay, but it usually happens that way? Or
yes, we have the estimates usually around the very early first quarter of the year, and the budget comes shortly thereafter.
Okay, well, just curious about more taxation, as I mentioned it. Anyhow, thanks for listening to me.
Thank you so much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, bless the morning to you.
Thank you, and to you as well.
To you and all.
Yes.
Yeah, that gentleman calling about the standpipe, that is the type of people we need in this country. Persons who look around. He might not have to go to a standpipe, but he cares about those who would need the service of a standpipe.
Well, you mean the gentleman who mentioned that there are three in the vicinity of Bridge Gap?
No, the first person who said that, no, he gone back. Down by the school, the standpipe is closed off.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who would see that and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that is so admirable of him that he would notice something like that and care enough to call in. Because okay. You see, we have developed this spirit that some of us have moved on and we don't need to look back. And when I see people at the standpipe, I say to myself, okay, there are still people who need standpipes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel good that the government tried to maintain them. As you guys said, just no, they just need keeping up.
Yeah.
And I would advise persons who need the standpipe that they don't have to wait until the government comes to clean them. Clean them up, pull the grass or spray the grass around them, keep them clean because they're using them. You
That's
know?
A good point.
Yeah. Show some care for the things that you really need. And again, there was something. I remember a time that those of us who have indoor plumbing and things had to go to one standpipe that was working in the area because all the pipes were off by that standpipe was working. And you should see people taking, they have to take their buckets to the standpipe. So sometimes we have to even go back to the things that we think we have grown away from or advanced from. Right?
It's a good point. I must say there have been a flurry of WhatsApps on this issue. Someone said there's a standpipe in Borden, St. Andrew, where persons wash 10-wheeler trucs at them.
What a nuisance. Ain't really, you know, I'm talking about persons who really need standpipes for cooking, bathing, things like that. That is abuse. But my main thing, though, about calling is it even reflect back to what caring that persons wouldn't have standpipes is that I think when the most excellent Erwarden Barrow decided that he will fight for us to lift us up in education and everything. If any one of the 10 heroes deserve the title the most excellent in front of their name, the most excellent Erwarden Barrow deserves it. Because he saw the need and pushed for it, and he was in the position to do so. So he was born in a time, for such a time as that time he was born in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for him. Because the education, I think what we are going through right now shows us in a way that we haven't really been following what his dream, more or less. You know, Martin Luther King had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been following his dream for us. I think his dream for us that we would become educated and we would pull each other along, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't just advance and decide, okay, I'm middle class now and I can move on and forget my relatives and I can forget the next door neighbor and I can move out and I can mingle with the hierarchy and things like that. He never lived like that. He was a really good example of how we should be. And this, what is happening in our country is the youth and everything. We can't keep blaming them. It is a combination of what it had to happen.
Seeds were sown before?
Pardon?
You're saying that seeds were sown?
Yes. Because he's, Warren Barr sowed the seed of the educational system. Not his one, of course, you know, his men, everything, but he had the vision there followed, and like Sandy Ford and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I say he would have love to see us go on and put each other up as we go on, as we go. That's how family flourish. It starts from the family as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we knew or understood that. And therefore, there are some persons who move out of the village and they don't even look back at their relatives. They don't, you know, you might have a sister with 5 children. They might not agree that she should have 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's one of those children that you see her potential or that you really care about or whatever, you can help that child and that child can help its mother and the rest and it goes on like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would complain that the Indians and the Jews and everybody is moving on. But that is the system they have. I am just tired of us just blaming the youth. The youth has lost hope and we need to take this time not to be critical all the time about everything, but really reflect on what is happening in our country and see how we can better what is happening for our young people from the womb to the tomb. Yeah.
From the cradle to the grave.
Cradle to the grave.
I have two comments on what you have shared. One, you mentioned that the most deserving of the national heroes would be the right excellent Erwarden Barrow, in your view.
In my view.
And then you mentioned that the youth, you said something about hopelessness, that they're hopeless?
Yeah.
Right, two things. And of those.
Some of them, not all, because some of them have the relatives and the background to help them push, but those that we look down upon and so on, I mean, they think that being somebody is buying a 500 pair of Nike shoes, because that is what they lean to make them feel good. And I'm
right.
not
so my, I just want to respond to you. I'm saying that I think many persons may argue that, or may agree with you, based on the role that he played, the significant role that he played in the history. You know, he would go down in the annals of Barbados. I mean, when you hear the word Barbados, you hear independence automatically, you see the Red X and Aaron Walton Barr, etc. And because I remember 1998 very clearly. I was young, and I remember the discussion. I remember the whole, you know, when they were the national hero, when the discussion came about. And I remember the current, he's still a Pan-Africanist, but the current ambassador to CARICOM, and I remember his commentary. And I remember the commentary of a gentleman who's passed now, another UE lecturer. His original name was Michael, but his name was changed. But I remember the talking about how we chose, who we chose, and what was said, etc. And I came to the conclusion after doing the readings of them that each of them played a role. And I understand that in a country, different people play different roles. Barbados at the time in 1966 is not the Barbados now. Barbados that was led by Walton Barrow.
I'm not defunking the others.
You're not to respond to me. I'm responding to you. I'm taking your point. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just sharing with you my thought on it. So this is not for you to agree or disagree. This is just me commenting on what you said. And the conclusion that I have come to is that each of the national heroes played a specific role in the specific time that they were in Barbados. And I think that they were needed. And then there's the argument, people will say, oh, there should be more women in there. I'm not there. I'm aware that there are 10 national heroes and that they all played a role in Barbados. And the role was significant. And when I looked back at even the same Sarah Ann Gill and the current living national hero, another scenario where Sir Gary was able to put Barbados on the map, and not just Barbados, but he carried the same West Indies with him in the successes that they had, and different things they played at different times. So I do hear you, but I wanted to add that to your comment. Even Clement Payne and the uprisings and the circumstances surrounding his departure from Barbados and all of that. When I hear about the national heroes, each of them had determination, they had passion for what they believed in, and they played a critical role in the history of Barbados at the time that they played the role. Now, as it relates to the youth, I am not ambivalent. I hear people talk about hopelessness, and it's not a term that I like to use, but we have different segments of young people in Barbados. And you did comment secondarily when you said some. I must say the word young people now, I will extend that beyond 25. We do have a growing generation of people who are hopeless. That's what I would say. And it doesn't only speak to the youth of Barbados. We have a number of people who don't feel they can contribute. And even as I was turning the cusp of 2019 to 2020 and starting to think of what I will do for 2020, and, you know, planning ahead for the year, whether it's for the business, for my personal life, my professional life, whatever, I was conscious of that hopelessness in some of our generation, and I want to play a role. I've made a decision and I started to do such. But we have a growing number of people who are also parents, who are also hopeless, who have shared very little with their generation. So like one of the few conversations I had earlier with Sandy, where we talked about teaching civics and teaching etiquette and teaching soft skills and those type things. We have a growing number of persons who do not know how to do certain things. They just don't know. They haven't been taught. There wasn't an old grandmother in the house, or there wasn't a school teacher from up the street, or, you know, they did not have the privilege of what a lot of our foreparents had, which is somebody to hand them, you know, give them the hand and show them another way out, or point them in the direction that is positive. We have too many of our youth who don't have that. So the clarion call then is for more people who know to help, and more people who have to volunteer, and more people who to have to give. That's what I would say on that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about. I don't think that Mr. Barrow is just looking at his time. It's like for us who have an opportunity and our children and so on, to, you know, if we even have an inkling of his vision, we want to get our relatives, start with our families and things first, and we can branch out and help those. The reason that I see a hopelessness in some, it shouldn't be so. Young people, do not be hopeless. God is still God. He made you. He loved you. Mm-hmm. Look to him. But the reason he says so is, when I left church, I passed through the gap down by the church, mm-hmm. and I had a balloon in my hand, right? Mm-hmm. And these guys were in the gap, so mm-hmm. I went up. You know, they know me, and I'm friendly with them and things on the block, more or less. So I went up to them, and I hit them with the balloon. I said, "Blessed New Year, everybody. Blessed." It was about 1 o'clock in the night, you know? Blessed New Year. And the older ones were laughing and things. Yeah, blessed New Year, Mom, and things. And one of those fellas, he was the youngest in the group. You know, he asked me, "What is there so good about the New Year?" Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. And there are many people who feel that way, it's just a change in calendar time.
I told him, "Listen, a New Year is a privilege for you. Every morning you wake up and God gives you life. Mm-hmm. You can see the sun is a privilege. Mm-hmm. Just trust God." And people don't hear talk about God, but he is the beginning, he's the end. Mm-hmm. Trust God, young people. Do not look just to your family, but the family should really help, and then it's carrying out this cause mm-hmm. to those who can help to help. Okay? Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Wow. Dr. Brass Sachs, good morning. Time is now 11:41. You're on the air. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Hitch.
Lisa Gill.
Lisa Gill?
Yes.
Lisa Gill, sorry.
You wanted Miss Haig?
No. All the time I listen to the lady and I say it's Mr. Gill, it is Miss Haig.
Okay.
All the best for the New Year. Sorry for the mistake.
Thank you, and all the best to you as well.
And that is because I really don't listen to the programs too much again because, you know, I don't have much time. I don't have much chance of calling in.
That's all right.
But I am a difficult person. Miss Hayes is the name, right?
Miss Gill.
Miss Gill, right? Yes. Gill.
You said you're a difficult person?
Yeah, I'm different than most people. That's it. Put it that way.
Different, not difficult.
Yeah, from most people.
Okay.
You see, I was young once and now I'm old.
And I think there are many people who fall in that category.
Yes, but the things I like now I am old, mm-hmm. I really like them. And anything that I don't like to really disturb me.
Okay.
So I want to talk a little about television.
Okay, your tolerance. Your tolerance levels have changed.
Thank you.
Okay.
I find that I don't see why they have to you try to pay for these stations and things. And then you have to be all day long. You can't see a little program you like. You can't this. There's no fault of CBC. So don't fuss. And all you have to be looking at is what happened in America. And when you listen at night, the people in America say, "Me, I don't listen to that. I didn't home," and all of that. But we in Barbados now, who have the little channels and like to see the little programs that they usually show, you ain't got nothing to do, nothing but watch it, and it disgusts me. Another thing about, I don't know if you're with me, I want to say another thing about programming, too. I just watch a little program on days at 1 o'clock on 700 called Michael, Kiki, and Sarah, I think it's that. I'm forgetting it. But Michael's name, they call Michael Strahan. I just call him Michael Strong because I find that sounds bad pronunciation to me. But, and Michael, now he's very tall. Maybe when you're watching TV, you'll see sometimes. He is very tall. And I like to see Michael, when the day comes, so uncomfortable to watch Michael for that hour. He's sitting in a coach that is no more than 4 inches tall. And he rubbing his knees all the time. You could tell they're hurting him.
What's,
yet,
what's the program about?
Big brother?
What's the program about? What is
it? It isn't just a little, Elena Doris.
Oh, it's a talk show.
Yes. Oh, yes. A little talk show. That's all I just watch. So, Ben, then he's there. He's in pain, in pain. I put in a plea from Barbados that they will give Michael a chair to suit wide enough and tall enough for him to be comfortable for that hour.
Okay.
You think that is wrong to say?
No, I think each of us has our own preferences.
Right.
You're clearly uncomfortable with tall people sitting in small chairs.
Because I am tall.
But what I would encourage you.
Sitting in small chairs, and I got on this program, and I asked for a chair to sit to suit me.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you believe I went in that manor and it was up, and I saw the identical chair I want was for $114 plastic. I'm sitting in it right now as I'm speaking to you.
Okay.
And it was a squeeze in my legs because I have size, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a squeeze in my legs not doing me nothing. Another thing, thank you for listening to me. Another thing, too, I want to say, I love Ellen very much. Ellen did something for a young fella last week. It was so nice. It brought tears to my eyes. Somebody carried his motorbike. And Ellen gave him a Jeep. And he jumped up, oh, he was joyful. And I feel that good for him. But I would like a Michael.
You want somebody to give Michael a chair?
No. Yes, I want somebody to give Michael a chair.
So that Kiki and Sarah
can. They're young.
They're young,
sure.
Yes.
You see? Most likely they would give them a whole plastic set, not too expensive. But I tell you about Ellen. So Ellen, now my problem with Ellen, I would like to stop. People will go to Ellen's show after last night, I think it was, also, and they will getting into the little games and things and trying to win a little money and so on. Not any black people, because I know black people don't start with business. And Ellen would press this button and sprout some dirty thing in the face, call it, sometimes it may be ketchup. Mm-hmm. Next thing, it may be a mustard. It covered the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts me. It brings tears to my eyes, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me very, very bad. And I would like somebody to pick up my mouth, their eyes, you know, and get Ellen to stop that. The same way they could stop the motorcycles from riding and this and that. Stop Ellen from doing that. Don't let people, some do what they want and others can't. So that's what I have to say.
Two things. What time does the program come on?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in night. That disgusting one.
Okay. And why don't you change it to another one? I saw one recently with a gentleman that brings over Miss Universe, Steve Harvey. And that one brought tears to my eyes.
I only have limited channels.
But the same Ellen DeGeneres, I think Steve Harvey show. But let me just quickly give you a little synopsis. With this couple, 81 and 80 years old, they got married. And believe it or not, they were both married for in excess of 67 years. The gentleman first gave his... They were together in high school, but the parents didn't think that he was good enough for her, and she had to go, and he had to go in the separate ways, and then they got married and loved their partners, but then continued to have this spark, but never, of course, did anything with it because decent people stay away. The long and short of it is that they both became widowed and widowed, and then they found each other. I mean, it was so blessing, and it really, really brought tears in my eyes to see that this couple from so many years ago would come back. So I'm sure you can find another program if you are so disgusted by this one program. Just change your channel and find something different. And I must tell you, though, CBC has been offering a great improvement recently in programming, particularly for on local content. So if you want to...
Well, it's CBC that I have, but let me tell you, I am a pensioner, mm-hmm. and I pay $50 for my TV. They must be about 15 or so channels, but I only watch three.
Right, but I'm telling you, choose the other channels because your money going out down the drain.
My money ain't going down the drain. It make me feel very good. All the best, yeah.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. What I would go here now to is the WhatsAppers, because I was ignoring them for a little while. So we're going to come back to the phone lines. But there is a consensus, I said earlier, on the standpipe scenario, where there are persons who really agree that the standpipes, as an old piece of Barbados, that it should be retained. And we should find ways to address the wastage. But don't just stop the standpipes because of the wastage that we see existing. And then another person says that a part of Barbados's problem, again, they say is the lawyers, and they're the ones who are, in their view, causing all of the problems. This is pretty long, but the long and short of it is that we're talking about other persons, but what about the lawyers in Barbados? That's another WhatsApper. And then we have someone says, and this is really where the civic duty comes in, where you care about your community. One says, if you live in a neighborhood where there's a standpipe that is running, why not turn it off? It could be a technical issue. You could go back. You can also report it to the same Barbados Water Authority, or you can fix it. It's a tap. Change your washer. But why wait on government for even that when you could stop looking at what others do and do something for yourself? So that was a contribution here on the WhatsApp as it relates to this. The person also continues to go on to say it's a part of our heritage and we shouldn't tear them down. So in other words, they are calling for the retention of the retention of the standpipes. Another person here is suggesting, based on my prior caller, not the very last, but the one before, tell your caller that Barrow continued what Grantley Adams started at National Hero, at all of the National Heroes deserve the honor. And I think that lady was in fact saying that her she wasn't necessarily singling out. She did say she thought that the contribution that he made, she holds it high in very high honor and in very high stead. And she does agree that all of the National Heroes deserve to have the honor that they have. And continuing on WhatsApp, we have more persons here mentioning the standpipe scenario and persons who misuse and abuse. So that's a wrap on some of our WhatsAppers. I would go back to our phone lines. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Okay. So just continuing, we do have some persons who agree on WhatsApp that our economy is coming out to some extent, but they're not so sure whether or not we're going to have, this person is saying, whether we're going to have taxes. And that was the same sentiment as one of our callers who said, well, they're going a little further, that we do have to go into the second phase of the second phase of the economic recovery strategy, and they're hoping to hear what will happen. In fact, only recently I heard Barbados Chamber of Commerce is having an upcoming luncheon, and the economic consultant, Dr. Kevin Greenidge, will speak, and then the audience will get to hear some feedback from the Prime Minister. They will be able to ask questions of the Prime Minister. That's coming up in a couple days, I think a day next week or the following week. And that is a positive. So I'm sure if you have any queries, questions, find yourself there and hear from them and hear from the Prime Minister herself, and also hear from the technocrat, Dr. Greenidge, on what his feedback is on the economy, where we are. It's supposed to be an update. And I think very soon we will also hear from the governor of the central bank on the year in review. So we do have a few things to look forward to. The music is telling me that we are going to go to the regional roundup, and after we come back, we will go straight until 2 p.m. on Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks.